This is KCUR 89.3. Rivers connect. There are 12,000 miles of navigable rivers in this country, serving as inland highways moving barges of coal, grain, fertilizer, and other bulk commodities. The Missouri River is part of that system, even though it doesn't always seem like it. KCUR's Suzanne Hogan will be looking at the river's potential in a two-part series. Today, she looks at how competing interests have shaped the waterway.
About an hour outside of Kansas City, Jay Rudy's office in Concordia, Missouri, is hugged between the Missouri River and train tracks. But he hears trains a lot more often than he sees barges. It's something Rudy, who's the area engineer for the Army Corps of Engineers, is a little touchy about.
There are a large number of vessels that go up and down the river and do number of things. Is it as much as the Mississippi? No. Is it as much as the Ohio? No.
The Mississippi is the busiest river in the country, moving over 500 million tons on barges a year. The Ohio, over 200 million. The Missouri sees about 4 million tons a year. A small amount in comparison. But according to Rudy,
nothing with the Missouri River tends to be small.
Or simple. The Corps manages the river, which is the longest in the country, running through 7 states. The basin is home to 28 American Indian tribes. There are so many interests along the banks, farms, companies, private landowners. It's where Kansas City gets its drinking water from. I mean, it's the reason why Kansas City exists. And as a person who's from here, I've often wondered, why aren't there more barges moving up and down the river, like you see on the Mississippi? To get a closer look, Rudy and I hopped aboard a boat outside of his office called the Silver Bullet. It's easy to forget that the Missouri River is engineered.
We're going to get a closer look at a dike and revetment.
I'll explain. Dikes and revetments are piles of rocks or material that run perpendicular and parallel along the river. They physically shape the direction of water flow and sediment to create the channel. Rudy points out some rocks that have just been used to repair an old revetment.
See that rock over there?
Oh, yeah.
Notice it's a different color? It's newer.
Before these structures existed, if the river flooded, it would just move. And that's why the once port town of Weston, Missouri now sits 2 miles away from the river, and why St. Joseph, Missouri's French Bottoms are now on the west side of the river, surrounded by the state of Kansas. But the Corps has to worry about more than where and how the river flows. In the 1940s, Congress spelled out 8 purposes for the Corps' work on the Missouri River. They are flood control, hydropower, water supply, water quality, recreation, fish and wildlife, irrigation, and navigation.
In some respects, they have an impossible mission because so much of its internal mission conflicts.
Brad Walker is an environmental advocate for the Missouri Coalition for the Environment.
They are the ones that build the navigation system, and then they're the ones that are supposed to fix the environment because of the navigation system.
The Corps is mandated to provide enough water from the dams and reservoirs to make the river 9 feet deep and 300 feet wide for navigation between Sioux City, Iowa, and St. Louis from April to the end of November. But the Corps also must tend to the environment. In the early 2000s, they added chutes and shallow habitats along parts of the river to protect the endangered pallid sturgeon. Considered an environmental victory by some, but Walker still feels the Corps ruined the river, and barge operators worry that the water won't be deep enough.
Do I have folks occasionally call and are not very pleased or happy with the Corps of Engineers? Yes. Do we have some that are very happy with us? Yes.
Back at the Army Corps of Engineers office, Jay Rudy says it's nearly impossible to make everybody happy. He says the Missouri River Master Manual, the operational document for the river, took 25 years to litigate. But he defers to his higher-ups and says if you don't like how the river is managed, talk to your congressman.
We get told what to do. We don't tell other folks what to do.
And helping barge traffic is part of the mission. But remember that 4 million tons that the Missouri River is moving by barge every year? Actually, 3.5 million of that is sand and gravel, meaning it's dredged out of the river and stays within the Missouri River system. So really, the river moves more like 0.5 million ton of bulk commodities. But that number is on the rise, according to the Missouri Department of Transportation. Which takes us to part two of the story. There are people who still see potential on this river system. People who are making a go on the Mighty Mo, despite its troubled past.
It seems like when you make a turn out of St. Louis into Missouri, it's like you're falling off the planet. And we're
connected.
That's Steve Engeman with Herman Sand and Gravel.
Herman Sand and Gravel.
Herman Sand and Gravel.
Herman Sand.
Herman Sand and Gravel.
Need to call Steve.
Every person I talked to pointed me to Steve Engeman of Herman Sand and Gravel. I learned he is a major player as one of the small handful of towboat operators pushing barges up and down the river, seeing opportunity on the waterway, and pursuing his passion.
I just fell in love with the river, I guess. It does get in your blood for sure.
And Engeman is an especially busy guy. I've been trying for months to catch him on one of his towboats, but we settled with talking over the phone. He's been moving fertilizer nonstop on the Missouri this year, but he's the first to say it. The Missouri has a bad reputation. Here's how Richard Grinville with Port KC puts it.
We have a lot of bad history to overcome.
At the Missouri's peak in 1977, the river moved over 2 million tons of commodities like fertilizer, pesticides, grain, and coal. Now it's at about 500,000 tons a year. And it's a different story on the Arkansas River, another river that flows east into the Mississippi. I'm on the Big Dam Bridge. It crosses over the Arkansas River, a river that moves 12 million tons of freight, nearly 24 times as much as the Missouri. Underneath the bridge, eight barges are being pushed by a towboat through a lock and dam. Locks and dams move vessels to different water heights and make rivers easier to navigate. There are 18 locks on the Arkansas, which makes it appealing and reliable for shippers.
Well, we have zero on the Missouri.
Richard Greenville of Port KC used to work at a port on the Arkansas. He's been in the business for a long time.
I started a career at sea in the Blue Water back in 1970. I know that makes me sound like the ancient mariner.
Greenville eventually made his way to what these guys call the brown water, another term for inland waterways. He acknowledges that the Missouri without locks and dams is unique, but he sees promise. We're standing at the newly reopened Woods Weather Terminal in the West Bottoms of Kansas City. The terminal had been shut down in 2007, but Port KC took it over and reopened it last August. Just today, three barges of fertilizer have been unloaded. Greenville says the terminal is an important investment.
Kansas City is such a dynamic freight hub for the nation.
Kansas City is the second largest rail hub in the country. And being alongside the longest river that connects to the busiest river, Grinville believes Kansas City is in a good position. The reopening of this terminal makes it currently the only active public port on the Missouri River. To Brian Ross of the Missouri Department of Transportation, that's good news.
We know that a lot of the freight that is moving on the Arkansas River could potentially move on the Missouri River.
MoDOT is financing a $3 million rail spur at the Kansas City terminal to be completed next year. Ross believes investing in public ports will help the river and attract shippers. And private ports have also been building up barge activity. But the problem is that it doesn't always make sense to use barges when you're trying to move bulk goods.
You know, you have competition from railroads. You have competition from trucks. And if the cargo can move more economically by water, it will move. But if it doesn't, it won't.
Mike Donlin teaches maritime administration for Texas A&M at Galveston. He says how deep the river is can affect how much you can load barges down.
The idea is if you can get more cargo in a single shipment, and the shipment is bigger, each ton is going to be cheaper to move.
Donlin says the more ports and barges that are out there, the easier it is to make it an affordable and appealing option. And this year, barge traffic is already picking up on the Missouri. Steve Engeman, you know the towboat operator for Herman Sand and Gravel from earlier, he says an unseasonably warm winter has got him on the river early, in February.
Historically, we've been able to start running March 1st.
The Army Corps of Engineers only guarantees enough water to navigate on the river from April 1st through November. But Engeman says there's often enough water to navigate outside of those dates. He says people just need to change their mentality about the river.
And that's why I keep telling everyone it's never closed. The Missouri River's never closed.
And another public port is scheduled to reopen. St. Joseph, Missouri's port is being renovated with plans to start operating in June. That combined with Port KC means for the first time in 10 years, more barges are in the forecast to pass by and come to Kansas City. Whether all of this is enough to actually attract more business to sustain it as an affordable and reliable option for shipping is to be seen. Right now, water levels in the reservoirs are good, but Mother Nature has a way of changing people's plans, like it has in the past. Only time and the weather will tell if the Missouri River will ever be a thriving navigation channel the way it was designed to be. For KCUR 89.3, I'm Suzanne Hogan.